Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the season 9 finale of Homemaker Chic Podcast. 9 seasons, and we haven't been canceled yet. And if you've tried to cancel us, we didn't know about it because we don't pay attention. So here we are. I don't know how many episodes this is, but it's been quite a lot in those 9 seasons. And we are so glad that you have joined us for this journey, whether you're just joining us now as a new listener. I know a lot of you have been with us since day 1. Mm-hmm. So we are so thankful for each and every one of you. So many of you have shared this podcast with people that you love, shared episodes that, you know, rang true to you, shared them with your girlfriends or your mom. And because of that, Homemaker Chic is now a number 1 rated podcast. So don't know how that happened, but here we are.
We're in like a few different categories. We're in home and garden.
Yeah.
Leisure.
Leisure.
Ooh la la. That's interesting. That's all we talk about is doing work.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah, merit, family. Yeah, a few different categories.
It's good stuff. I'm glad to be with you, Angela Reed.
Hello.
Hello.
Closing out the year.
See ya.
See ya.
Yep. I love New Year's Eve because I am not a looker backer. Ever. Don't like it. I am a forward motion kind of a person. And mm-hmm. New Year's Eve and New Year's Day, it feels like you get full permission to just charge forward. I love
it. I always find New Year's Day a little anticlimactic.
Oh, yeah.
If New Year's Day could land on a Monday, that would be like my wildest fantasy. But it's always like, you thought you were going to go. And now everybody's just wearing their pajamas.
Yeah, that's fair.
You know? It's kind of like, oh, now I got to wait till Monday.
Yeah. Do you set New Year's resolutions?
Yes and no.
Okay.
I mean, yes. I mean, I think we talked about this last year. I don't have a problem with that. I think I get kind of ornery when people are like, oh, don't do that. Whatever. Why not? I set resolutions on Mondays. I set them on the first of the month. Like, what are we going to do different? I wake up every day like, what are we doing today?
Yep.
So the first of the year is just like that amplified. Plus mm-hmm. there's like this, just this whole like shift of, okay, then you a week into it, then all my Christmas stuff is coming down and time to start seeds. And it's just this great big fat page turn. I love it.
I wore
rhinestones like, today to celebrate
I know, you
that.
Look very festive for
I have something to show you.
It's really wonderful.
I have something to show the Patreon people. I'm not going to be able to hear you while I do this. Check this out.
Okay.
This, I've been waiting for this. Hello. I have been waiting for this. This is from our trip. This is what I'm going to be wearing tomorrow night for my best Lady Mary.
Oh, I forgot you got
that. Vibe. I can't hear you, but I'm assuming you're saying I look freaking amazing.
Yeah, so she's wearing a little flapper headband.
Are you describing it to them?
Yes, that we got in New Orleans. So we went.
I didn't hear anything you said.
Yeah, I was describing what you were wearing.
Okay,
little flapper headband. It's beautiful.
Yeah, fascinator flapper headband that we got.
Yep,
New Orleans.
Fabulous.
I'm so excited to wear it.
I love that.
I'm so excited to wear it.
That's great.
Okay.
Stu often makes fun of me because I'm also like that. I'm constantly like, okay, it's March, and here's how March is gonna go down, and now here's our new chore system, and here's our new like farm system, and he always laughs at me because they don't ever last that long. But I've always tried to explain to him like they don't have to last that long because you're still pushing yourself somewhat in the right direction, even if you just pick up one new habit from that, or one thing changes, or one difficult spot gets dealt with.
Absolutely.
That's still
forward motion.
And that's all I'm looking for. Like, we're directing ourselves in the right way. And so I don't really care if it doesn't last for that long. Like, it's still a win in my book.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I can't. Like, I don't know how you do that. It's like, does not compute. How do you look at the first and not have any hope or anticipation of something being different or improved on? Or
seriously, I just moved all my, birthdays and anniversaries and all that stuff into my new 2022 planner. And it's like every year when you start the garden and you're like, this is the year.
This is the year.
This is the year that I'm going to be the gardener that I have always wanted to be.
Mm-hmm.
This is the year that I'm going to be the business owner that I've always wanted to be. I'm going to be the friend that sends a birthday card on time in the mail. For sure. Mm-hmm. To all my friends.
Like, yep. Of course. Of course. This is the year.
That's great. I think it's, I mean, I think it's great. What would you do if you didn't?
Don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know. I'm charging forward, man. I'm just going. Mm-hmm. Have you ever seen the movie Father of the Bride?
Durr.
Okay. Yeah. I can't remember. So we had Father of the Bride and Father of the Bride Part 2. And those movies we watched thousands of times.
Okay.
But I can't remember which one this is from. But there's a line that our family says all the time, which is,
okay.
You know, let's say it's Monday morning and you've just set your new resolutions in. You're going to get up and here's they are. And you're just ready to just devour this day. And then something happens. And, you know, you're sort of kicked back a bit. Well, there's a line in one of those movies that says, take one step back, George Banks. Like, he thinks he's getting ahead. Take one step mm-hmm. back and then something happens. Take another step back, George Banks. And so that's kind of the saying in our house. Like, I went to go do laundry and I was like, I'm just going to devour this laundry room today. I'm getting all the clothes washed. I'm finally going to empty out my ironing basket. I got my new mm-hmm. bottle of starch. Like, let's do this. The laundry pipes were frozen. Because it's so bloody cold. My washing machine is just like, it can't suck any water. So like 3 hours and a butane torch of trying to melt these pipes.
Oh my God.
Later, I finally got to do my first load of laundry, which by the way, half the time is still backing up into my basement mm-hmm. because of our construction issues. So
that's great.
Anyway, it was just, I just, sometimes you just have to laugh to yourself, you know, take one step back, George Banks, like, you think you're ahead? Get back in line. You're not going anywhere.
But you can try.
You can try.
You'll
get
try.
A half step ahead, but then you can take a step back.
Oh, man. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen the second one as much as I think that must be from the second one.
The second one is better than the first. The first one I found to be still quite tragic, even though I've seen it 1,000 times. Like how rejected he is on the wedding day is so sad to me. So sad. Anyway, here we are.
Here we are.
Here we are. So new year, new season of Homemaker Chic podcast. Before we go any further, we should say a big thank you to our patrons.
Yes.
Patrons, thank you for keeping Homemaker Chic on the air. If you have found value in this podcast, we would love for you to consider showing your love to the podcast by visiting Patreon, patreon.com/ Homemaker Chic podcast. There's a couple different levels there, but it's just $5 a month or $10 a month. And if you join the $10 a month, you get video forms of the podcast, which is kind of fun. And you get to join us for our end of season fangirl calls, which is a lot of fun. We all hop on Zoom together and we just get to chit chat for an hour about things you found valuable about the podcast, things you'd like to make sure that we touch on in the coming season. A lot of times they help us develop the theme for the next season.
Yeah, those calls are really where the following season really gets developed. It's mm-hmm. like the hardcore diehards and they get to contribute. So
yes.
In fact, they came up with like the CEO aspect. Yep. Like that was really requested. So
Yep. So thank you to patrons. Again, that's patreon.com/ Homemaker Chic podcast. And it's because of them that we get to keep making this content. And we are super grateful to be able to do that. Almost 2 years now we've had this job, ladies, and just amazes me. It just amazes me. And I'll tell you, every time Angela and I sit down to read through your emails, we are just blown away. So,
yep.
What a cool community that has been created around our homes.
Really incredible. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have a good confession. Pop music confession. This I'm excited about this year. I just get stuff worked up in my head. I know people were really really excited for 2020 and then they were disappointed. I don't care. Pop music confession, this song 22 by Taylor Swift. I love it. 22 is my favorite number. My birthday is July 22nd. I'm jazzed. I'm going to crank that song tomorrow while I'm making dinner in the kitchen. And just the giddy, you know, when you have like a pop song that just kind of makes you feel cheesy and giddy, mm-hmm. that's like the anticipation I have about this year. I'm feeling 22.
Okay. We have some great things planned for you under the umbrella of Homemaker Chic. We're really excited. So
yes,
just like pick your favorite episode from this year and you can just like hit the, usually there's three little dots or whatever, hit share, share it with a few people. New year. This is what I want you to listen to. Mm-hmm. Join us. Mm-hmm. Spread some Homemaker Chic love.
Yeah. We all need our things too. And mm-hmm. I have a little arsenal of podcasts and books that I go to when I need to be in a certain mood. Mm-hmm. If you, depending on what mood you're in, if you need some pop music, go do that. But if you're feeling grouchy and a little bitter and not so great about 2022, I want you to go listen to the Elizabeth Elliot podcast. Seriously. And let Elizabeth Elliot slap some truth into you.
I just started a book. How to Be a Woman? What's her book about? Mm-hmm. Woman. I just started that the other day.
I'm not sure. I don't remember the name of it. So she's, Elizabeth Elliot is, she died, but she, her granddaughter started a podcast of Elizabeth Elliot speeches and recordings and such that mm-hmm. have been collected over the years because she was a public speaker for a very long time. And if you're not familiar with her story, she's a Christian woman. She was married, originally thought she was just meant to be a missionary, but ended up getting married to Jim Elliot, who was a missionary that was killed by a tribe. He was speared to death by this tribe and left her widowed, very young, with I think her daughter was like 8 or 9 months old at the time. And so she's just got stories about being kicked down. I mean, there's another great story that she shares when she was translating the Bible into this Colorado Indian language. But she was having to basically use Spanish because the Colorado Indians were in Mexico. And so the two different languages, Spanish, Colorado Indian, and she speaks English. And so she was using this one. There was only one person who spoke Spanish and Colorado.
Okay.
So she was, they were meeting together and she had all these notes and, you know, she's trying to translate the Bible into this Colorado Indian language. Anyway, this isn't a spoiler because there's a whole story about this, but he ends up being shot on the streets of Mexico. And then the home that she's living in that has all of her work with him is burnt down. And she loses, I mean, this was before floppy disks and
Google Docs.
Anyway, just amazing. So if you're feeling sorry for yourself, and I'm there, guys, I get there. You just need, like, I need some heart positioning. Maybe you listen to Homemaker Chic, but the Elizabeth Elliot podcast is so good. So go listen to that too.
Yeah.
Or listen to Taylor Swift.
Feeling 22. Let Me Be a Woman is the name of the book I'm reading right now.
Okay. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
She's got some great ones on all kinds of stuff. Yeah. Relationships, sexuality, you know, basically, like, why does God let bad things happen? Because, listen, Elizabeth had some things happen, okay? She's got, yeah, she had.
You know, if you're not familiar with her, you probably are with the story. That was a major motion picture.
Yeah.
The story about her husband.
Yeah. Well, and it was three men who were all speared to death.
Yeah.
It was really super difficult. Mm-hmm. And what I love about Elizabeth, we talked in the last couple episodes about talking to yourself, not listening to yourself. And one of the things I love about Elizabeth Elliot is she's just very frank, you know, mm-hmm. especially for being an older woman. Like, she's not docile. She's not squishy. Mm-hmm. She is sharp as a tack. And, you know, she's able to just be like, self, here's what God says. And are you going to believe that or not? The end.
And Beyond the Gates of Splendor is the name of
the Beyond the Gates of Splendor. Yes. Yeah. Correct.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, good stuff there. Good stuff there. So, yeah, fill your heart with good stuff. Do you want to talk about your wintering book? Should we talk about that?
Maybe. Sure. Sure.
Do you want to?
Yeah.
Okay.
No. Yeah. I just finished another book. This is by Catherine May. This is not a Christian book, per se, or not a Christian book. But this book is called, hold on, I've got
copy. It's here. Just called Wintering. If you just look it up on Audible.
It's got a subtext, The Power of Rest and Retreat in Difficult Times.
Yeah.
And I'm just in this just since moving here in this phase of my life where I'm falling in love with winter. And I think it's being out of the city, being able to see like the real beauty of winter, and then being intrigued by the so many of the Scandinavian traditions that are active here. So I have a new interest in Scandinavian culture. It's just fun. It's like, you know, it's neat to develop things and realize you're intrigued by other things. But this book is beautiful, and it's really spoken to me in that I've had some wintering happening this year. And this idea of the book is that, to quote, you know, pop culture, winter is coming. And it is all about how you are prepared for it. And so the author visits different cultures and different traditions that happen during winter and kind of makes these analogies in how to prepare for difficult chapters in your life or to make your way with grace through mm-hmm. difficult chapters in your life. And it is a beautiful mm-hmm. book. Yeah.
Sorry, one of the things that, hold on just a second, I have to yell.
Hey, kids, okay. Be yeah. quiet.
Stuff popping up on my screen here. Sorry, distracted there. One of the things that I love about the wintering book, because I had to listen to it so that I could talk to Angela about it, obviously. But she's like, wintering is often not your choice. So
yeah,
wintering beyond just the actual physical season of winter, but wintering being times of retreat, of forced rest even, mm-hmm. of mm-hmm. maybe even solemnness or darkness or quietness. Mm-hmm. So things that can bring on this quote wintering in that context are like maybe the loss of a job or the loss of a loved one or the end of a relationship or maybe financial difficulties. You know, mm-hmm. things that sort of happen to you that then you have to allow yourself to enter into this time of wintering. And yeah. I love that idea. Yeah. I think that that's really helpful because the author then goes on to really develop this idea of it's not a bad thing. So the first thing you have to do is acknowledge and just say, this is a season of wintering. Well, what happens in wintering is that the plants rest, you know, they drop, they're not in their splendor, they're not growing right. their harvest, but like this is a necessary part so that they can bloom again in the spring. They have mm-hmm. to go through this cycle. And we also have to go through these cycles. It's just part of our existence. And to not always be held in this perpetual summer, because that's not possible. It's right. not possible to always be a rose in bloom. In order for a rose to bloom, it has to go through autumn, and it has to go through winter, and it has to go through spring. And to me, that's really helpful. So even like the other night, there was a night I just kind of woke up in the middle of the night and couldn't really get back to sleep. My initial response was just to be angry. Like, I have to be up in this many hours, and if I don't get this amount of sleep, then I get really grouchy and da-da-da. Mm-hmm. And I kind of heard my mind just go, but what if this is just a little moment of wintering? Just a little right. moment. Not what you wanted, not what you would have chosen, but here you are. Mm-hmm. And so I allowed, instead of fighting that moment, I allowed my mind to just be like, okay, well, what's something in the quiet of this moment that I need to think about or that I maybe need to kind of work through or maybe I need to pray about or organize even a bit in my head? And like it totally flipped a moment that would have been seen as bad or unproductive. Mm-hmm. And sort of switched it into this, like, actually, this is what I need. It's just different than what I would choose.
Right. She talks about just this, like, we have this sort of, like, naivete, and we know it's not true, but we go around acting like winter isn't going to happen. And she then interviews a friend from Finland, was it?
Mm-hmm.
Who talks about, like, the Finns and their preparedness for winter. Like they start in August, okay? Firewood, check. Candles, check. Long underwear, check. Have mm-hmm. we mended our sweaters? Check. You know, this mm-hmm. acknowledgement that it's coming and we're going to be prepared for it. And, you know, mm-hmm. it's kind of like our modern, you know, kind of attitude towards death. Like we're not an, as in touch with that as the Victorians or previous mm-hmm. eras. Yeah. And so we kind of just keep it way over there, you know, yeah. and don't entertain it till we have to. It's not like this daily acknowledgement of it like other generations have had, just a more pragmatic thought around it. And that's sort of what she talks about. Like they will happen. Seasons and chapters in your life mm-hmm. will happen. And it's mm-hmm. a beautiful book. I found it very, very beautiful. So yeah. It's by Catherine May. This is what it looks like for the patrons.
One of the things that I love, too, that she gets on with her friend in Denmark is she talks about how in Denmark they completely put away their summer and spring wardrobe and get out mm-hmm. new clothes for winter. And, you know, as a British woman, she was kind of like, oh, well, that's sort of strange. Like, we just throw on a cardigan and maybe bring out our winter coat and our mittens. And mm-hmm. and the lady's response cracks me up. I'm going to say a swear yeah. word, so turn the volume
it's
down.
Funny.
But yeah. she goes, I'd
if
like
your kids
to see
are listening.
If your yeah. kids are listening. Because I don't think anything else will quite capture it. But she's like, oh, I'd like yeah. to see them try that shit in Denmark. Like,
yeah.
meaning there are seasons that wintering seasons that are in your life are so severe mm-hmm. that it requires you putting on an entirely new wardrobe on yourself, mm-hmm. putting away everything that you had out that was familiar, that you knew, and bringing in entirely new tools in order mm-hmm. to survive the winter well. And I love that idea of growth as a human, of just saying, okay, that part of me is now gone for a season. Mm-hmm. It's being put away. And now in order to rise to this season, I'm required to do things severely differently. And again, like that's not a loss. That's not a step back. Mm-hmm. Like that's how you grow into the next one. And I think that is such a powerful concept. Anyway, I think the yeah. book is great. Angela and I would like to invite all of our Homemaker Chic listeners to stock up right now on the beautiful flowers, baking gifts, and olive oils provided by our longtime friends at Jovial Foods. Visit jovialfoods.com and fill your cart with rich and buttery einkorn flour, the only wheat variety that's never been hybridized, and a flour that even those with a gluten sensitivity can often digest with ease because of its weak gluten. Einkorn flour is the flour that we bake our everyday breads and all our holiday cookies and cakes with. JovialFoods.com also sources the freshest, most beautiful olive oil available to those of us who want a taste of Italy on our table. I've been to these groves and I've watched how this olive oil was pressed. Its freshness is absolutely divine. The special olive oil makes the most wonderful gift and is only available while supplies last. So visit jovialfoods.com and fill your cart with ruby red jarred Italian tomatoes, cannellini beans, einkorn flour, cookies, crackers, wheat berries for grinding your own flour, and this year's special olive oil. If you're feeling stuck in your kitchen, uninspired, and frankly not loving the food that you've been putting on the table, I want to personally invite you to join the Elliott Homestead Cooking Community. Visit cook.theelliotthomestead.com to get started. As a cooking community member, you will get 5 Farm Fresh inspired recipes each month created from my farm kitchen and delivered straight to you. I'll also send you a thorough instructional video showing you how to create the dish in your own kitchen with tips, tricks, and pointers to help you learn new skills and advance in your cooking abilities. The cooking community is designed to get you passionate about good food, to get you fired up, to get you skilled up, to get you excited about cooking and serving up delicious, whole food-based dishes on your table. Visit cook.theelliotthomestead.com right now, choose the membership package that's right for you, and let's get cooking. Also, if you're looking to give a gift this holiday season, I'd love for you to visit cook.theelliotthomestead.com/a-la-carte. That's a la carte to shop a few special recipe packages of various sizes and topics that are perfect for gifts and come with a physical gift card in the mail. Let's get cooking.
I think she's got another one I'm going to read. And then she also does like a mini podcast. It's a limited okay. amount, but where she interviews people that have had to winter.
Okay.
So each one is a different interview
yeah.
with how the person made their way through that.
Yeah. So one, I love the, there's an example that she uses in wintering about a young girl who came down with, what was that sickness that she had? It was like, It was like mono, but not meningitis.
Meningitis in college.
She got meningitis in college. Yeah. Goes into a coma for a long time. Like so sick, she almost dies and has to spend months and months and months relearning how to talk, how to walk. Mm-hmm. She's to the point where she goes from being this healthy person to her mom putting a bite of food in her mouth and actually having to physically move her jaw up and down to chew the food because she's so weak. And so that concept of wintering of like, okay, well, if I just look at this from the outside, I think, okay, I lost all my friends because they all moved on. Mm-hmm. I'm now a year behind in college, right? Mm-hmm. I don't have the physical abilities and won't for years to come that I had initially. And you can sort of stay down in that moment or acknowledge it for what it is, which is this season of wintering to move you forward into the next spring. Anyway, great concept, literally in terms of making it through the winter and also emotionally for emotional times of winter, yep. I think are super powerful. Anyway, that's always good. My father-in-law always says with books like this, you got to take – like, take out the meat and spit out the bones, you know? There was definitely a few bones, but...
For sure.
There always is.
Yeah.
There always is. And that's okay.
So. But a beautiful... I listened to it and have the book. There's something about a book being read with someone with a beautiful accent.
I know.
Seriously. Like Jane Eyre by... read by... what's her name?
Oh.
Tandy Newton.
Insane.
Oh, my gosh. Like, if you need something to power... through the weekend if you just want to listen to something while you're organizing your drawers.
Yes, please.
Jane Eyre as read by Tandy Newton.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Mm-hmm. Like I actually when I got done I was like, what other books has Tandy Newton narrated? Please, I will listen to anything you say. And only a couple. Like she's not a like I'm like no, do
she's
more.
So skilled.
Please.
So skilled.
Could you do Wuthering Heights? Could you do all the Bronte novels, please? Like, I would be most grateful.
So good. So good to have that kind of stuff in your arsenal.
My daughters and I watch stuff, and the understanding is if I say look away or if I'm going to cue something forward, you're not allowed to give me flack. So we have that. That's worked out well in advance. We are powering our way through Poldark right now. And it's fun because there's some I haven't seen in like 5 years, you know, the beginning, the early ones. That's our winter
Poldark
evening snuggle under a blanket treat, Captain Poldark. Mm. Yeah.
Poldark, it damaged me. It's like Outlander. I can't go back. Never been able to go back. Funny, if you guys have watched Poldark, it's sort of the story of this really beautiful man who sort of rescues and falls in love with this beautiful woman.
Yep.
Okay. And I'm going to spoil something. So if you haven't.
No,
I have to tell the story.
No, you don't.
Fast forward
yourself.
I want to tell this story.
No. You can't. Okay.
Okay, fine.
Fast forward if you don't. Shay, if you haven't listened to the show since day one, Shay has no moral compass when it comes to spoilers. Reading the last page of a book.
I have to emotionally prepare for what is going to happen. Okay? I won't tell it. Warned. Fine. No, forget it. It's fine.
No, they can. There's a little circle on their player. They can just fast forward. What, 30 seconds? You have 30 seconds, Jay. The floor is yours.
Okay, 30 seconds. Okay, so there's... I'll be sort of not specific. There's a baby who's conceived. Okay?
Is she conceived, Shay?
The baby dies, okay? Well, when I watched this episode, I was pregnant. And if I was going to have a girl, her name was going to be Juliet. Mind you, this is the night I go into labor. The night I go into labor. So I'm that pregnant. And I watch this baby and she dies. And her name was Juliet. And it sent me into labor. I'm not kidding. I was dry heave crying so hard. Like, why would they do that? Why would they do that? And then I went into labor.
So you have to be vague from here on out. Okay.
That was the end. And then I went and had the baby at the hospital.
I actually watched that one last night and cried pretty, it was pretty tough.
I don't want to watch stuff like that. It makes me so sad. I don't want, why do people want to feel sad like that? It's like, why do they watch scary movies? I don't want to feel scared.
But it was just one part of the whole show.
Doesn't matter.
Oh, he is in a new, he's in Leonardo. He's playing Leonardo da Vinci in a new series.
Okay.
I'm like, what else has Aiden Turner been in? It's
like, now, like, spoiler.
He painted the Mona Lisa, in case you didn't know.
That's not what I was going to say. No, about Pole Dark.
Oh, another spoiler?
I haven't watched it because of that said episode. Is it true that Pole Dark is unfaithful?
You never finished the series?
Angela, I just told you I never watched past when the baby died.
Shay, that was 5 years ago.
Well, some things we just don't get over. Okay. I am in my wintering season of Pole Dark.
I'm not saying anything. You're just going to have to finish the show. Okay, well, I'm just
saying that ruins it for me. Like, you don't do that. You don't pull that shiz over on me. I've told Stu, you get, sorry, buddy. Like, there's no, you get one chance. That's it. The end.
One shot.
One shot, or I'll pull dark.
I did just find out that he's in a new series, so I'm pretty jazzed about that.
Okay.
So.
Very good.
I hope it's good. I'll have to watch it, obviously, before I watch it with my girls, but.
Yeah. Okay. So, what are you guys going to do for New Year's Eve? Eat oysters, drink champagne?
Uh-huh.
What else?
Crab. Blue crab. Kay. Oysters.
Okay. That's fun.
Music. I usually just, like, turn up music and dance around the kitchen while I make food.
Yeah.
And I'm usually asleep by like 8:45.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
I don't know. Like, we're having company. I'm like, I can't stay up that late. Like, I can't do it.
Yeah.
I can maybe. I have to kind of get over a hump. But then, like, I'm ruined for 2 days.
Yeah.
It's just no thanks.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to go see my brother-in-law. And stay with him because we are going to do our Christmas with him. So we're not quite finished yet. And we're going to go try. I don't want to get into that. We're going to try to see him play music and hope we
without
can get
a hazmat suit. Is that what you're trying to say?
I want to say a lot of things right now, but I'm not going to because I don't. Boo. We're all tired of talking about it. But we're going to go try and see him play on New Year's Eve. But the show starts at like 11:30.
Oh, like cool people do? I'm like,
how young are you people? What are we, 20?
Don't we outgrow that, what? Like at 24, 22?
What are we doing? Can we just have the show on New Year's Day and start it at like 7? That would be great.
5 a.m.
Like, if I don't drink any champagne and only and have espresso late in the afternoon, I might be able to like sit awake. But
why does that have to be a thing? Why do you have to, like, start stuff? I remember, like, when I was old enough to go to clubs and, like, I figured out, like, you don't go until, like, 11:45 at night. I'm like, but why does that make you a cool person to start stuff late at night?
I don't know. Or European, you know?
Or European.
Yeah, always joke with our friends, Jess and Natalie, because we eat with them a lot. We eat very early. They eat very late. And Natalie always says, we're just European. You know, we're on European time. I am not. I'm like 5:30. We're all sitting down. Like,
Shay's
all
the surf and turf 7. Crowd. She's like,
exactly.
I don't mind eating late. Like, I actually, that would take a lot of pressure off in the afternoon if we could just eat late. I don't want to clean up.
I don't want to clean up late. That's the problem. I don't care about eating late.
Don't you Europeans like have a messy kitchen? Doesn't that burden you to clean that up at 10:45 at night? I don't want to do that. And I need to take my bra off at a certain point. Like, can I have dinner braless?
Oh my gosh. Because you guys, I bought a new sports bra because, believe it or not, I actually wore out a sports bra. I don't know if you've seen my chest. It's not much at all.
Some people did probably a few weeks ago on Patreon for 20 minutes. Before some very kind listeners said, you guys probably have some stuff on Patreon that you don't want there. Thank you for that.
Great. That's great. Anyway, I bought a new sports bra. Like, when I was out Christmas shopping, like, okay, I need one of these. I just grabbed it. And I grabbed a large in women's.
Oh, feeling generous, Jay?
I guess I was. It's so small, I can't even get it over my ribs. Oh, like,
I don't.
If I Shay, Emma, not even a large. What on earth are actual women?
With I don't know what they're trying to accomplish with sports bras. They're so tight. I can't get them on. You're like, like trying to put one arm in and then another.
It's so bad. And you take them off and it's like, your husband's like, what happened to Rib, you?
Right?
What happened to you? Seriously. Oh, torture.
Yeah, they're pretty. I have some, I'm like, just throw them away. You just get angry when you see them. I have like my little stack of workout clothes. I'm like, oh, don't wear that one. That one just makes you miserable.
You won't get out of that one.
Right.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Seriously, just cut it off. Each time I wear it, just cut it off, please. Sorry, I don't remember why I was saying that. I'm just saying, if large busted women, like, I'm sorry, because that's ridiculous.
That's how I feel about underwear. I feel like underwear is so small.
I know. I wear a large.
I buy a large.
Yeah.
Like, I need it to cover my butt cheek. The smalls, like, I buy the smalls for my 11-year-old. Who's wearing small underwear? And I'm not kidding.
The bigger question is, who is grooming themselves so well that they could wear a small without it looking like it ate a teddy bear of some kind? I see your small underwear. And I raise you 2 inches of pubic hair on each side. Oh, if I was a professional waxer, maybe I could wear a small. Maybe.
Oh my gosh.
You know what's funny is I was thinking about this the other day, about beauty ideals and how they change and how, like, do you remember the model of the 90s and, like, you wanted a flat butt, like the Kate Moss era?
The waif. Yeah.
Just stick. And then you go from that to, like, women getting
butt implants?
Yeah. Isn't that so strange?
Yeah. Yeah, we were talking about something like that when my mom was here. We're like, somebody talking just made a comment like, oh, once there was an actress that insured her legs for $1 million. I said, well, that was Betty Grable. And my girls were like, what? I'm like, yeah. And then Jennifer Lopez insured her butt. My girls were like, how? What?
I don't understand that.
I don't know.
Insure against what?
I don't know. I guess if she broke her legs or her legs got fat, then she was going to get an insurance policy. I swear Betty Grable insured her legs for $1 million. She had great legs. I will never have great legs. Are not in my DNA.
No, not I don't. Thing. They're not.
I can't imagine having great legs.
Listen,
like when I see people with pretty legs, I'm like, wow, that must feel amazing.
I feel like everyone kind of gets one thing.
You get one. I have one thing.
Yeah. And you just got to learn how to play up that thing, you know? Yeah. So
I can't play up. It wouldn't be kosher for me to play. Mine's my stomach. I have a good stomach.
Okay.
Guess, sorry, world. You'll just never know.
Yeah. Well, unless you kind of tack onto that midriff style that's everywhere.
Can you do that? Like, is that, I just don't.
No, I mean, no, I don't think, not when you're a mom of 100. Like, it's just,
my 100. Now I'm 100, but I feel 22.
No, I said when you're a mom of 100, when you've had 100 children. No, I think you do. You kind of just, but you can play up if your stomach is your attribute. Like, there's other ways that you can play that up, like wearing a nice tight top and a fitted skirt that collects at your waist. You know,
yeah.
And listen, like, I do think there's a reason the Lord didn't give me just very wonderful breasts.
I would love them. They'd be everywhere. They'd be in your face every day.
I would love them so much. They're
beautiful. If I had them, that would just be magnificent. Just saying.
It is true.
I don't like women that are always like trying to like downplay it. I'm like, no, like you you got those.
That's just fabulous.
Like, I'm not saying I need to see like 4 inches of cleavage, but by all means, don't bandage yourself. Like, you've been blessed. Go. Be blessed.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's a gift, ladies. Everyone's got
it.
It could be your eyes. You could have just like some of that nuclear hair that just grows long and thick and amazing, or could be the shape of your eyebrows or whatever. Like, there's so many beautiful traits in women. Women are so beautiful. They're such beautiful creatures. I actually feel I obviously love men. Like, you know what I mean? But when you see all these Christmas pictures coming through, like all these family pictures, and I'm like, yeah, the guy looks nice. The woman looks amazing. You know, right. She really is the jewel in the crown. Like, she is the sparkly, beautiful, just like this feminine amazingness. And they all look different. There's no standard, but it's but there is something about a woman that is so uniquely beautiful. And I love that. And
I think so too.
Yeah. Anyway, I don't even remember why we were talking about that.
I have no idea. You're talking about size small underwear, sports bras.
Yikes. All right. Should we cue the wine music? Should we do that?
Oh, we didn't do that yet.
Let's cue it. This is the final wine segment for Homemaker Sheet Season 9. Here's what we want you to do, my friends. Go visit dryfarmwines.com/homemaker chic. Dry Farms is an incredible company that sources organic, biodynamic, naturally yeasted, non-irrigated wines from all around the world. So this is wine that has no additives, no sugar, no commercial yeast, no fillers, no added flavors, no fake colorings. So this is wine that is clean, naturally fermented with the yeast that is on the grape from small little vineyards all around the world, South Africa, New Zealand, France, Germany, Austria, Italy, all kinds of places. Not America, but we'll get there eventually.
We're just not good enough.
These are the wines that we drink because they don't undo all the hard work that you're doing in cleaning up your life and making sure that you keep it as beautiful as you can.
Cramming yourself into a sports bra.
Exactly. Yeah. Keeping it tight, ladies. Keeping it tight. All right. What are you sipping? I know you had a bottle.
Okay. I mentioned this the other day.
Okay.
Okay. So this is it. I'm here. You have this one?
Yes. Okay. We had that one on New Year's Eve. No. Christmas Eve. I keep mixing those up. Christmas Eve.
Tomorrow.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is what I have pulled for tomorrow. This is a 2020. I'm thinking this is called, pronounced Petillon Naturel. Domaine de l'Epinay. And it's a sparkling, medium-body blend. Pure, fleshy white fruits and flowers jump from the glass on the plates of this wine's soft bubbles and crisp acidity. It makes for a lovely textured sparkler.
Mm-hmm.
These are the notes from the app. So grilled oysters, scrambled eggs, and brioche.
Yum.
Crudo of Fluke. Is that a fish?
Don't know.
Crudo of Fluke. Like, what is that?
I'll eat it, whatever it is.
It's in the food pairings. Like we should just know what a Crudo of Fluke is.
So we're not the classiest people that have ever lived.
Let me look it up. Speak for yourself.
I am not.
Okay.
I'm trying, you guys.
Yeah, this is what we're having tomorrow. Okay. Pretty excited.
Crudo.
Stick it out in the snow. It sounds like a fish.
How do you spell fluke?
Fluke. F like fluke. F-L-U-K-E. I can't spell it loud.
Fluke crudo. Yeah, it looks like a fish.
What is a crudo? Like a bake? Like crudo?
It's fluke is a fish.
Right?
So it almost looks like a ceviche kind of a thing where it's like lime juice, fish. Yeah, that's basically what it is.
Okay. That makes sense. If it goes with oysters, that makes sense.
Yep. Very lovely.
Yeah.
Well, delicious. Well, so you can get the sparkling wines. Dry Farms does a sparkling box. So you can get three bottles of a sparkling wine and you can do that as a one-time order or set it up to ship it to yourself each month. Same with the white wines, the red wines, you can do 6 or 12 or 3, and you can kind of set the frequency for that yourself. So visit dryfarmwines.com/homemakerschic to get started on that. I gotta say, having company for 6 weeks, drinking dry farm wines with my father-in-law, he left and he's like, so I guess I have to get a subscription now. Like, how do I go back to-
You've ruined me.
Yeah. How do I go back to drinking these other wines? Because he has the same thing I do. He has the histamine response to a lot of wines where when he drinks the wine, his ears get itchy, his nose gets itchy, like his eyes get itchy, which is actually really standard response to some of the stuff that they put in these wines. And he so enjoyed drinking the dry farm wines. So that's what he was getting himself for Christmas. Merry Christmas.
Yeah, I used to go, like when I first started drinking, I used to go back and forth. And then I don't know what happened, but then there was just a period of time where I just had dry farm. And it was the same thing. Well, I can't go back now.
I know.
Can't do it.
It's kind of the problem, but it's also, it's a better not more thing. So, you know, a lot of times people ask, well, and the bottles aren't that much. They end up being, I think, about $26 a bottle. Which may be more.
Which is a lot.
Or maybe less,
depending. $6.99 in the grocery store. That is a lot. Yeah. But again, better, not more. I was talking to someone the other day, and they don't drink. And I made the suggestion, like, but they do use wine in cooking. Like, trust me, you still don't want to use all that junk in your in your recipe.
Or have wine for your guests if your guests come over and they drink wine.
Yeah.
You know, that's a nice way to stock that. So that's good stuff.
Okay.
So end of season, what have we learned about being the CEO of our homes? Don't you just feel like, and you have, you know, more years experience than I do. I feel like there's still so much uphill to climb. You know, I think even in starting this season, I kind of was like, oh, by the end of this, I'm going to have thought about all this stuff and chewed it out and implemented it into my house. And what you realize is that we do just kind of have to point ourselves in the right direction and just try to stay in the road and stay out of the ditches.
Yeah. You know? And just like taking ownership of what falls under your jurisdiction, you know? That's like what I'm walking away with. Not like in this, you know, savior, if it's meant to be, it's up to me type attitude, but but acknowledging what is my role. Okay, if I'm the CEO of this, then doesn't mean I'm doing the work per se. You know, we still talk a lot on this show about delegation and mother's helpers and children's chore charts and things like that, but like the CEO still has to answer for everything. So
And there's still so much progress to be made. And that's what I love is like, even if you're doing pretty good, like there's always the homemaking act and the CEO, like it's never done. Like, okay, I accomplished this year, let's say, staying on top of my laundry. And now, because we are in a posture of learning all the time and developing all the time. Okay, well, maybe now this is the year that I start ironing my sheets and starching them. Or maybe this is the year that I like properly learn how to deal with my silk garments or my wool garments. Or maybe this is the year that I'm finally going to just sort of reorganize my laundry room. Now that I'm not just under it all the time. Maybe this is the year that I try to make it a little bit more beautiful or experiment with different laundry soaps. Like it's never ending. And to me, that's what's so exciting about it is it's an art piece that's never done. It's constantly moving.
Well, you know, the show's tag is like rescuing the art of homemaking from the daily grind. So an artist like never maxes out their talent. Like they never, an artist is always improving. An artist always looks at previous pieces of work and says, oh, there's where I could improve. There's where I could improve, you know? And that's not, for the homemaker, that shouldn't be a source of discouragement. Like we have this great job. Where I don't know, maybe I don't know what I'm talking about. Can a computer programmer get better and better and better? Or do you have to then take new classes and learn new things and expand your knowledge? You know, we have this privilege of having our fingers in so many different pies and they can always be improved upon. And it's not, that's not a discouragement. That's like an excitement that does keep the mundane at bay.
Yeah.
because you can look at 2022 and say, okay, here's all the different arenas that I'm the CEO of. You can look back at this season and go, I'm going to pick three where I want to specifically improve, or
yep,
or one that I'd like to feel like I've almost perfected by the end of this year, or
yep.
You know, we have, that's a privilege. That's, that keeps things jazzy and interesting.
What are those areas for you this year?
Blah.
I know. You knew it was coming.
I don't know. It sounds silly, but like I'm super into my house right now. I'm super into it. Mm-hmm. I feel like I went through a year where I was just willing to let things go, or just willing to just like, okay, like I don't know how quite to describe it, but now, you know, I talked the other day about like I ordered the switchblades. We've been here 4 years. I feel really settled. I feel really confident even in the decisions I've made about projects that aren't, we haven't even started yet. Like I've had enough time to ruminate on everything. Mm-hmm. And for a while there, I was kind of in a slump of feeling like somebody needed to rescue me. And now I have these eyes to look around and see, okay, I can do this. I can do that. And I can do that. Like I feel like I'm taking ownership of the little naggy things around my house that I can do. Mm-hmm. I don't know why I wasn't really feeling like I was in a position to do that. I kind of feel like more like old Ange. Like old Ange was always doing something, always, whether it was painting or rearranging. And then there was just like this period the last few years where I wasn't doing that as much. I would,
yeah.
Like just for example, lame example, but rearrange a room and then it would just kind of stay like that for over a year, you know? I don't know. I feel mm-hmm. kind of refreshed in that arena. Mm-hmm. This will be hopefully the year that my boot room, you know, I have like some, I'm excited. We talked again too the other day about things being functional. And so I have a few projects on the horizon that when they're done, it's going to impact my role as a homemaker because things in these arenas will finally be more functional. And I have so much anticipation about that. I very much am looking forward to that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. same kind of thing, same vein. I think I think part of the period that you went through was because there are so many big projects to be done that the ones mm-hmm. that you can knock out seem almost insignificant. Mm-hmm. Like, why would I care about switching out a plate, a light plate, when my boot room is the way that it is? You know, or right. There's like sheetrock and exposed beams, like all this just difficult stuff that you can't conquer right. by yourself. You need help, or you need to call in the electrician or the welder. And so I think that can kind of be what bogs people down. Oh, my gosh, that was hilarious. My gimbal just died. And we're done.
I'm
like looking at her face, then it slowly smears off screen.
Oh, that's funny.
That's good stuff.
It's charging. I might have to switch to my FaceTime camera because.
Yeah, that's fine. We only have a couple minutes left anyway. So.
Okay, I'll do that.
Just switch your.
Keep talking.
Your Zoom over.
I'll switch.
Anyway, I think that's why that can happen. I think when the big stuff gets so overwhelming, we actually almost have to train ourselves to put our attention to the small things
and not
stay too focused on the big things that we can't always control, you know? So that's a big one. I'm trying to see the details of things. I really, really am. While at the same time, my number one project for this year is just to get our basement done. We have our permit. Did I tell you that? I think I did. We did talk about that last week. So we have our permit now, and we got it just in time for the temperatures to drop to zero. And
yay,
which is not concrete pouring weather. So, but it's the functional thing, you know, to have a closet. We've never had a closet. Stuart and I have never once in our married life had a closet in our bedroom. We've never had a bathroom like that. It's just stuff like that. And it's, you know, we're fine. We've made it work. And I know a lot of people are just making it work. And I get that. But functionally, I'm very much looking forward to that big piece being done. Yeah. So much. I can't even.
Yeah. For me, I'm like, I know I have a long way to go until 70, but like, I'm not going to be 70 with things not functioning, you know?
Yeah.
Like, things need to function. I want to be mature. Yep. It's a functioning house. Darn it.
I know.
You know?
Yep. There's good stuff in there. I think too, for me as a business owner, like there's always room just for more organization, whether mm-hmm. that's with budgeting, scheduling. I mentioned this the other day, but like, I genuinely do want to be the type of friend that remembers to send cards for anniversaries. I think anniversaries are a very big deal in a world where mm-hmm. like, what, 99% of people get divorced? Like, y'all made mm-hmm. it another year. Like, right. That's worth celebrating. And birthdays, you know, things like that. Like, as you get older, I know if you're listening and you're like 20, you're like, whatever. But those things do become really important. You mm-hmm. know, the birth of children, weddings, birthdays and anniversaries. Like, these are, I have some really special, special people in my life who have died. And I want their families to know that we remember that day. So like, I even have those days marked on my calendar mm-hmm. because I think it's important to remember. And
yeah,
like that's the stuff, it just fills my soul. It's good stuff. That's the stuff that makes you feel like I'm doing it. I'm doing it. Like, these are the things that I've said are important. And now I'm doing the things around them that show that I actually think that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there's 1,000 different ways in which that's applicable in a home, but that's just one example I can think of. But also, I haven't sent your Christmas present yet.
There's just sitting right here. That would require leaving the house. Don't make me do that.
It's not because you're not important.
It's okay.
It's good stuff. Oh. So I'm going to sign off here for the season.
Okay.
I've got laundry to do because we got our lines defrosted. So I got to make hay while the sun shines, as they say, and do it all before they freeze up again.
While the sun shines.
Quite literally.
More hours of daylight here. So
go, go, go. Listeners, thank you so much for being a part of the Homemaker Chic family. And
yes,
we will be taking a 2-week break. So we will be back mid-January.
Believe we air on the 17th.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. So we'll be back on the January
17th. On the January.
Mm-hmm. Have That's a great new year. Have a great new year, ladies. And we'll see you back here in a couple weeks.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Oh. Don't.
Wait.
If you are a patron, please.
Yeah.
Make sure you join us for our fangirl call, which will just be in a couple of days. So make sure you hop on over to patreon.com/homemakerchicpodcast so that you know when that is, because that's where the link will be posted for that.
Yes.
Okay. Now we can sign up. Okay. Cheers.
Okay. Cheers.